Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I want to talk today about the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, some of the recent popes, as they've read the signs of the times and tried to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, reminded us of the central place and the central role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the entire church and in the life of each and every believer, everyone who's baptized into Christ. To be baptized means you're baptized, as Jesus said, by water and the Spirit. And in baptism, we become a new creation because the very life of God, the life of the Holy Spirit, is given to us, and God comes to dwell in us as in a temple. It's an astounding reality. We receive what C.S. Lewis described as the Christ life. We all have within us biological life, but not everybody has within them the Christ life. Every human being is made in the image and likeness of God, but not everyone, because of original sin, because of the reality of sin and separation from God, the image of God in us, the divine life has been marred. We've been separated, and the whole work of salvation is God's desire and God acting through his son Jesus ultimately to bring about the possibility for human beings to be able to receive God's own life, to have the divine life, the eternal life, the Christ life within us, the life that passed from death to life and entered a whole new reality, a whole new creation. This is God the Father's intention for every one of his children, for every single person that he's made. And the church's mission is to bring people into contact with this life, with the person of Jesus Christ, with a relationship with Christ and God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it begins with repentance and baptism and receiving that new life. And so at baptism, we're also touching the reality of Pentecost, of what the recent popes have described as the perennial and eternal Pentecost of the church, because the giving of the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about this week, comes from the fact that Jesus, one of us, but also the second person of the Trinity, divine, eternal Son, has been glorified at the right hand of the Father. In his person, Jesus passed from death to life and brought humanity with him in his person to the right hand of God the Father. We who had fallen from glory have been raised to glory. Human flesh, we've been destined from eternal separation from God and death, has now inherited in Christ, the second Adam, the life of God. And that life is poured out. That life is the promise, the Holy Spirit described in the scriptures. And it's Jesus at the right hand of the Father. We'll look at the catechism and scripture and other things throughout this week to take a look at the dynamic importance of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of each and every person. And now, Pope Paul VI said back in the early 70s, as he was trying to read the signs of the times and noticing not only that the church in Europe had been collapsing, many people were leaving the church, but even in that context, there were movements and graces of the Spirit happening that he could see and could point to. He was asked at one time, what is the church's greatest need? And he described it this way. He said, more than once, we've asked ourselves what the greatest needs of the church are. What is the primary and ultimate need of our beloved and holy church? We must say it with holy fear, because as you know, this concerns the mystery of the church, her very life. This need is the Spirit. The church needs her eternal Pentecost. She needs fire in her heart, words on her lips, and a glance that is prophetic. Another year later, he said this. He said, the fresh breath of the Spirit, too, has come to awaken latent energies within the church, to stir up dormant charisms and to infuse a sense of vitality and joy. It is this sense of vitality and joy which makes the church youthful, relevant in every age, and prompts her to proclaim joyously her eternal message in each new epoch. The Holy Father's pointing to what the source of renewal is and always will be in the church. It's the Spirit who gave life to the church when Jesus, the one who, as I said, is exalted at the right hand of the Father, who he himself said is the one who's come to baptize in the Holy Spirit, to plunge every human heart, the people of God, into the new life of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus who produces that. And that's where the life of the church comes from. It's the Holy Spirit that animates every human heart that is baptized into Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that makes present every sacrament, the celebration of the Eucharist, the central sacrament in the life of the church. As I mentioned last week, the whole reality of what's happening there, the representation of the once-for-all saving death of Jesus Christ, that act of love by which we are all saved, that act is represented. It's a miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit through the action of the priest, the words that are the words of Jesus that the priest speaks, all of it. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So the church lives by the gift of the promise of the Holy Spirit that's given to each and every one of us. Of course, I mentioned at the end of last week's program how St. Paul tried to remind the believers in Corinth and other places to always take stock and to say, remember who you are. Who are you? You are a temple of God. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God dwells in you. The Son of God dwells in you through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You're a radically changed person. You're a new creation. The new creation has already begun in everyone who's baptized. And I think it can be part of the devil's strategy to get us to be distracted or to not believe in the reality of what the Lord has accomplished in us, but to see it as somehow only something that's going to happen in the future. As for now, I'm kind of slogging through life. I'm a bit of a schlep. I'm not very holy. I don't experience much power in my life. I don't experience the kind of renewal that the recent popes have talked about. My faith isn't animated. I'm just kind of struggling day by day just to make it happen. And often I'm relying on my own resources and the like. And so that's not what's at the heart of the Christian life. That's a minimized, diminished life. What we're meant to have is what Jesus described in John chapter 7, verse 39. He said, for all who believe in him, rivers of living water will flow through them. Living water is another, it's a one of the sign symbols, the ways of names and descriptions of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when those who are baptized into me, those who believe in me, will be filled with, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and it will be like a living water running through them. Again, some of the recent popes have said that since the day of Pentecost, there's like a river of life that has flowed through history. And it continues to flow, and it will flow because it comes from where? It comes from the throne room of God, from the eternal, loving, omnipotent power of God. And it's poured out on us because Jesus is one of us, because Jesus has brought us into a share of what belongs to him. And what belongs to him, what he's sharing in between the Father and the Son, is the life of the Holy Spirit. And so the church is not just an institution that has a set of constitutions and laws and ways of being, which we do have, but she is, in her heart, most fundamentally, a living organism. She's a new creation. She's Christ alive and present in human hearts. And so at the heart of it all is this animation. The Catechism describes it this way. It says in paragraph 729, only when the hour has arrived for his glorification does Jesus promise the coming of the Holy Spirit, since his death and resurrection will fulfill the promise made to the fathers. The Spirit of truth, the other paraclete, will be given by the Father in answer to Jesus' prayer. He will be sent by the Father in Jesus' name, and Jesus will send him from the Father's side, since he comes from the Father. The Holy Spirit will come, and we shall know him. He will be with us forever. He will remain with us. The Spirit will teach us everything, remind us of all that Christ said to us, and bear witness to him. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth and will glorify Christ. He will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. There's so much there. It's a fantastic paragraph. The church is so aware of who she is in Christ, what Jesus has accomplished, and the whole culmination of Jesus' ministry is to make possible the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's literally the whole core, you might say, the central reality and the culmination of Jesus' saving acts that make it possible for us to be united to God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that drives the whole mission of the church. The Spirit makes present Jesus, as I said, in the sacraments, in the preaching of the church, in the magisterium, in the prayer, in the service, in the mission, everything about the church. It's the Holy Spirit who leads it all. The Spirit empowers it all. And therefore, because the Holy Spirit is the driving force of it, is the first agent of the church's mission, the Holy Spirit present in you wants to move in you and through you to be able to engage that mission and to fulfill, I think, the two most important fundamental things that God desires for us is, first of all, to fulfill the great commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the Holy Spirit who animates us and reveals God the Father to us, reveals the Son to us, gives us a divine affection, gives us the affection of the Son, the love of the Son for the Father. The Holy Spirit reveals God as Father. The Holy Spirit tenderizes our hearts and deals with our resistance to God, our fear, the hardness of heart that's present because of sin, the doubt, the mistrust, the clinging to our own authority, our own identity, the rest of it. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal to us the tender mercy of God, His profound transforming love for each one of us. He speaks to our spirit, and with the mercy and power present within us, He begins to subdue as we yield and say yes. He begins to heal our hearts. He begins to subdue our drives. He begins to order our interior life. He helps renew our minds. He gives us a fresh spiritual way of thinking. He teaches us to radically trust Jesus and to live like nomads of faith and to abandon ourselves to Him in the radical love of God and the love of neighbor. And He anoints us to carry on Jesus' mission. He anoints us to extend the Great Commission in the world. The Great Commission is what? Jesus said to the apostles, and the church is born to carry out this mission. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He said the great signs of the Holy Spirit that confirm the preaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the kingdom, just as in Jesus' life and the life of the apostles, the church is to extend her mission in the world by that same power. And the Holy Spirit will use us as a current of grace. He'll use us. He'll do works of power through His people if we're alive to Him, if we're living and walking in the Spirit, if we're receiving, as Pope Paul VI said, this eternal Pentecost that the church lives by. The Pentecost reality of the manifestation that the apostles experienced that literally thrust the apostles into the marketplace, that moved them from a place of waiting and a place of, in some ways, maybe fear and discouragement as well. The Spirit of God came and animated them with the glory that belongs to Jesus, and they went forward fearless, knowing who it was who was empowering them. Friends, this is the life of the Holy Spirit. This is the normal Catholic life, and it's the answer to the great struggle in the church with her mission in this hour. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.